You're listening to the Women's Hope Podcast of the Masters University with Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings. Join them as they bring hope and encouragement through 25 years of combined experience in biblical discipleship and counseling as ACBC counselors. Shelby and Kimberly provide biblical and practical wisdom by coming alongside women with the teaching and resources necessary to grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast. We are so glad to be with you and to be with each other in the studio today. Hey, Shelby, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Kim. Thank you.
I'm so glad to be with you.
Same, same, always. Yeah. We always have fun talking before we record.
Yes, yes. It's like a mini session before the session, right? Well, we would love to be with each and every one of you in person, but since we can't, we really feel that the podcast is a great runner-up. So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate our listeners so very much. Without listeners, you don't really have a podcast.
That's true.
So, Shelby, we are going to tackle a very important topic, using our spiritual gifts within the body of Christ. Some people, I feel, have made it harder than it has to be. Some people probably ignore it altogether for whatever reason, right? But either way, it's addressed in the Word of God, and those words apply to the women of God. So we are going to go directly there. And we are going to provide a two-part podcast series and answer some questions. These are great questions, by the way. Here are the seven questions. Exactly what are spiritual gifts? Someone may ask. Who is qualified to receive spiritual gifts? Thirdly, who is the source of our spiritual gifts? Fourth, what are the purposes of these gifts? And then, Lord willing, for part two, we will ask these questions. What is the importance of spiritual gifts? What are the broad categories of spiritual gifts? And what are the intentions of spiritual gifts? So, as you ponder those questions, be sure to tune in as we tackle this together and maybe even evaluate your own heart where you find yourself at. And maybe that'll be beneficial as you prepare to listen to this. So we are going to jump around between 1 Peter, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12, because those are the passages that speak on spiritual giftedness. So you'll want to have your Bibles handy, if possible, or your phone apps that allow you to scroll quickly as we jump around. But before I go to 1 Peter 4:10, I just want to give you a little bit of context of 1 Peter 4. This letter was written by Peter, the Apostle Peter. He wrote it originally to those who were chosen, believers who were scattered throughout Asia, and they were scattered because they were experiencing persecution. My husband is actually teaching in 1 Peter right now. Peter's intention was to encourage suffering believers to live godly lives even in the middle of severe persecution. So it's interesting to note that even in a time when people were being persecuted for their faith, Peter thought that it was important, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to exhort them to continue to use their spiritual gifts with one another. So let's go to 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. It says, as each one of you have received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, To whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, some things that we will see as we answer our questions is that within these two verses, we will discover salvation is not just about our atonement. Also, salvation is not just about forgiveness of sin, but salvation is also about the regeneration of the heart. The heart is being transformed. This is transformation. It's the imparting of a new kind of life, and the life of God is in the soul of man. We have the Holy Spirit, and He imparts gifts to us. So Paul speaks of this also, like I said, in 2 Corinthians, but we see in 2 Corinthians 5 that when he describes believers, they are described as new creatures. The old life has passed away, the new has come. A dead person has been made alive, right? He's not filling in the gaps of where we might have a few insufficiencies. We are new creations. He is remaking us. So all true believers should have new desires. They will have new godly works because they have been transformed from the inside out. So, sure, salvation is about our atonement. It's about our forgiveness. It's about our redemption, our justification, but it is also about continued transformation into the likeness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I think that that's so beautiful that our salvation is continuing. It didn't just start at justification, but we are in the middle of our salvation right now through our sanctification and becoming more like Christ as God makes us more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So, first question, what are spiritual gifts?
Got to start there. Got to start somewhere.
Exactly, right? So, by definition, spiritual gifts are a necessity in the ministry of every believer in the body of Christ. As believers, we are using our gifts. We are working together, right? There's the one another's of Scripture, to strengthen the body, being unified, being lights in a very dark world, and ultimately bringing glory to our Father. Sadly, many Christians seem to be unaware of what their gifts are. This is very common. I see it in women's ministry. If I ask women to raise their hands and ask them if they know what their gifts are, quite a few women won't raise their hands. They'll say, you know, I'm not really sure, which it's not the end of the world, right? It lets you know that now is a good time to discover what those gifts are. If you're a believer in Christ, you don't want to delay in opening that gift that God has given you and using it, right? So, listen to these quotes on spiritual gifts. K. Arthur of Precept Ministries says, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified. Each believer has at least one spiritual gift, no matter what his or her natural abilities are. And I think sometimes we get a little confused between the difference between abilities, skill sets, and giftedness. And we're speaking specifically about giftedness.
Gotcha.
All right. So the second definition by your pastor, Shelby, Pastor John MacArthur, he says a spiritual gift is an ability given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform the specific function within the body that God, and get this, has assigned each of us to. God doesn't just give us our gifts, but he is provident in placing us within a specific body that needs that giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Brings it up a notch.
It really does. It helps you to have a greater view of God's placing you within who he has placed you with, right? So the last definition is from one of my favorite writers, Jerry Bridges. I think he's one of your favorite writers.
He actually is. He's had a big impact on me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He writes very practically.
Yeah.
Very, very practical. So a spiritual gift is a graciously, freely given mode of ministry. I love that mode of ministry, energized by the Holy Spirit. So to sum up these like-minded definitions and to answer our question, we could simply say a spiritual gift is much more than just mere ability or talent. Although spiritual gifts frequently incorporate some natural ability, however, spiritual gifts are imparted to every believer by God, the Holy Spirit, to employ or use in serving others in the body and bringing glory to God. And I love how this is the third time I think we've mentioned God's glory.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's always the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So let's expand on that definition a little bit more. And let's get into our text a little more specifically. And by doing that, we will be able to answer our second question, which is, who is qualified to receive a spiritual gift? Not everybody has spiritual gifts, okay? 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is for believers,
mm-hmm.
okay? This book is written to believers.
Right.
Right? And so it's believers that receive spiritual gifts. We will see unbelieving people who do good things. Right?
Yeah.
Very helpful and even very talented in ways. But these are not spiritual gifts. Okay?
I think it's an important distinction to make. Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that. I've thought, wow, can you imagine if they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, how amazing they would be, right?
Exactly.
But there is a distinction mm-hmm. to be made. There is a difference. It says there right there in verse 10, as each one has received. Who is each one in this letter? Like I said, it's all throughout the letter of 1 Peter. They're the chosen and the born again in chapter 1, okay? Also, it says in chapter 2 that they are living stones, a chosen race, and a royal priesthood. So we also see in chapter 5, it's the flock of God. So each one in the course of this letter, it's bringing up the idea. It's not even an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth.
It's bringing up the truth, yeah.
The truth that this is for believers. This book is addressed to believers. And by way of extension, if we are followers of Christ, then it's written to you and I,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a believer, these things apply to you. Now, just a side note, Shelby, remember we had an interview with Philip DeCourcy?
I do, yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
And it was based on his little booklet, You Go Girl.
That's right.
Yeah. And he talks specifically about how women are part of the royal priesthood, because that kind of sounds strange, right?
Yeah.
Because in the old...
Because you're conjuring up an old, like the Levitical priest, sure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a part of that priesthood. And if you want to go back and you want to listen to that discussion, I really felt it was good. And plus, he was my old pastor.
Yeah.
You can go back. He was interviewed on episode 131 and have a listen, because I think it'll help just make this conversation.
Like over 20 episodes ago?
I know.
Goodness gracious.
We're at over 150. I was marveling at that today, actually. So as we move along in verse 10, we find it says everyone or every believer then has received that gift. Okay, just very simply stated there. So what Peter is teaching us is that every Christian has at least one gift, and every gift in the body of Christ matters. It's important. In fact, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 for a moment, and let's read what Paul has to say in this matter. And let's start with verse 7, okay? It says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And then Paul goes on to describe the various gifts like wisdom and knowledge. And so all that to say, sometimes as Christians, we talk to, in our various women's ministries, think that they don't have a spiritual gift. Maybe that's how someone listening today feels right now. But can I just encourage you, ladies? The New Testament is very clear that God has at least one special gift or more than one gift for every true believer. And when you use your gifts to serve others, it could be either a seen gift or an unseen gift, a behind-the-scenes gift, right? It may be big or small. I would say there are no small gifts because we have a very big God.
That's right.
But you know what I mean.
Sure.
But no matter what it is, all spiritual gifts are important. So God has gifted each one of us, and as well as the ladies that are involved in your women's ministry. And so you have the responsibility to help them to see the importance and the necessity of their role in serving one another so that God is glorified within your local church. So in summary, who is qualified to receive a spiritual gift? All true believers of Jesus Christ have been gifted by God to serve the body of Christ, the church, right? The bride of Christ. We should all consider this is a privilege, ladies. And it also is a huge encouragement to our own souls to see that God very intentionally and carefully gives us something that is to be used for His glory and for the building up of the body. So far, we've answered two questions. What are spiritual gifts? They're imparted to every believer by God to serve others and to bring glory to God. And who is qualified to receive them? All true believers. So, let's move on to another question. Who is the source of our spiritual gifts? Who gives spiritual gifts to the believers, Shelby?
Yeah, I think it's good because you're already in 1 Peter, so we can just keep our Bibles open there because he actually tells us,
right.
You know, it's fun. It's fun mm-hmm. to allow the Word of God to shape our answer.
Right.
You know, we don't have to just kind of pull it out of the air or just like, I don't know, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But when we look back,
it's a pulling of ignorance.
Yeah, it's a pulling of, and that's dangerous.
Very.
But looking back at 1 Peter 4:10, we learn that spiritual gifts are not products of our own abilities or spirituality. Rather, spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by God, right? Peter says there that these gifts are the manifold grace of God. And so what that indicates to us is that they're received through His divine grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that very term that Peter uses for gift, charisma, it suggests that they are a result of God's grace. And so he is emphasizing to us, the reader, that they're received. They're not earned. I think that's probably a lot of people probably maybe think that a spiritual gift is something you earn.
Yeah, we tend to have a works mindset.
Sometimes
it's kind of a default at times if we're not careful.
Yeah,
that's good
for sure. I mean, we don't want to confuse that with maybe in your early years of being a believer, you kind of discover you have, say, the gift of teaching, but it evolves or grows over time.
Right.
You know, I mean, I started with teaching little ones, and mm-hmm. it manifests over time through maturity mm-hmm. in Christ, right?
Right.
But nonetheless, the gift itself has been bestowed upon people by his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. So they can't be sought after or even attained through personal effort. They are definitely given freely by God in his great sovereignty. So any boasting in these gifts, by the way, contradicts their nature as a gracious gift and suggests a great misunderstanding, I would say, of their source. Spiritual gifts are manifestations of God's grace. And the other thing about them is you can tell when you read through passages like 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10, Romans 12, that you've got very diverse gifts, lots of different things going mm-hmm. on there. And so, you know, we can't seek recognition for the things that we do, the way that we serve, fame, or some kind of self-fulfillment there. It's really misguided. You kind of miss the point when you go that direction. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, Christians do err. They often turn the focus of spiritual gifts inward, and they make their gifts about themselves rather than serving others, right? Like we have taught so many times before, you know, we're serving one another. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ, okay? And so when it comes to gifts, we can always make it about us. That's a self-centered approach. Mm. And actually, that's really what Paul was dealing with in the Corinthian church. They were making those things, spiritual gifts in particular. There was a lot of things going on in the church at Corinth, but one of the errors that they were making is making their spiritual gifts about them. And so Paul addresses this in the famous 1 Corinthians 13 passage. I'll just read 1-3 if you want to flip back to there. This is kind of interesting because we use 1 Corinthians 13 in a lot of different contexts, but think of it in terms of misusing gifts, because he's trying to correct an error in thought here.
Right.
But he says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, Paul is telling the church, you could be gifted in how you speak, or you could have the gift of knowledge or other things, but if you don't have a sacrificial love as a heart motive when you employ those gifts, you just sound like a big old noisy gong. You know, we can really see that in our mind's eye. Mm-hmm. A noisy gong, just a clanging cymbal. Now, thinking the best, I believe in large part believers get really excited. Mm-hmm. I know I did. When you discover what gift you have or how God has gifted you and how we can employ it. I don't think they set out, you know, trying to make it about themselves. But sometimes we just kind of default there, you know, this is my kingdom or whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. Turning it into a little fiefdom, a little kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously is one of the reasons why we're bringing the scripture to bear on this point, because we can see pretty clearly that God's word teaches us that our spiritual gifts are actually a result of God's will, not our own will. You can't will yourself into doing something you're not really gifted at. I guess you could try. I believe people probably do, but you can kind of tell, you know. Mm-hmm. But we can rest in and we can rejoice over the fact that the gifts God has given each one of us, he gives because it's according to his word and it's according to his will. You know, that's really sweet. You know, I love that because it takes the eye out of it. When I employ my gifts, it's always to the glory of God. You shouldn't be thinking about yourself at all.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You brought this out, but you know, we discover as we're sort of thinking through scripture and, you know, 1 Peter, we could look at 1 Corinthians 12 and examine even further verses 7 to 10, that Paul delineates various spiritual gifts, but he also explains that it's the same Spirit who orchestrates all of those manifestations, you know, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. He distributes them individually according to his divine will. The Spirit dwells collectively within the entirety of the church. Ephesians 2:22 talks about this, where it states to distribute gifts to the individual believer through which the Spirit of God can minister to his church. So among his multifaceted works within the church, it's the Holy Spirit that bestows gifts upon individual believers, facilitating his ministry within the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are of utmost importance, and they're really meant to be employed for the love of the brethren and for God's glory. And so really, in summary, just to kind of answer that question, who's the source? I mean, we could just, it's just a Sunday school answer. I mean, it's God. It's God. But in specific, we should say God, the Holy Spirit, right? He gives gifts. And that's what you really learn from if you read 1 Corinthians 12. But also, we would say that God the Father determines our gifts. And that's what's taught in 1 Peter 4:10, those two things. So, you know, whether you know what your spiritual gift or not is at this point, and I just want to give you some encouragement to begin to, you know, learn from what we're teaching on the podcast, go to the Lord in prayer, and just entrust yourself to God, and he will help you to discern that. I mean, one of the biggest things that I came across in all my years of being a believer, because you're trying to think through where are you, you know, where are you gifted and how should you employ those gifts, is a lot of times people affirm that. God will use the body of Christ to affirm that. You know, I've had people pull me aside like a pastor and saying, this is what I see, areas that you're gifted in. Let me help you grow further in that direction or whatever.
Or trusted, mature women.
You're entrusted with things, sure. And that's super helpful. So you're not always, I believe that that's part of God's providence. He's just trying to help you to grow in a particular area. So don't discount that. I think people can affirm. I don't always recommend taking like spiritual gift tests or anything like that.
Thank you
I think you just, like my friend Tina used to always say, you know, you get excited and you just, whatever, what floats your boat, you just begin to employ that. And I think over time, God makes it abundantly clear. But you just got to roll up your sleeves and jump in and just start serving, see where it goes. And then, of course, as time goes on, God matures you and people affirm those things. And I think that has definitely happened in my life. Wouldn't you say it's happened in your life that
way?
Oh, yeah.
So many times.
Yeah.
I'll be teaching something. And they'll say, thank you so much for being a woman who teaches God's word and would teach it clearly and concisely. You must have the gift of teaching or something like that.
Yeah.
And so if they're saying something that makes it clear.
Yeah.
For lack of better words, because I just use that word, that I am being faithful to the scriptures and that it's evident that I'm able to convey those truths, then I'm appreciative of whether that's encouragement or, like you said, affirmation.
Yeah, I mean, of that. It truly is. It's, and you just, all you can do is just say, praise the Lord, you know?
That is such a good point. When someone says, you know, oh, you have that gift, I immediately say, praise the Lord, or thank you, praise God for that, you know, because again, we're talking about whose glory it's for, right? And it's not, we don't want to be puffed up. It's nothing that we have that's our own.
That's right. It's not about you, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Isn't that funny? No, it's really helpful. I mean, a big shout out to Justin Erickson. He was my pastor when I was in the biblical counseling days, and he was the one that helped me to see that, just serving in that way. You know, that demands certain giftedness too, But it's sweet when a pastor takes the time to kind of pull you aside, mm-hmm. like an elder pastor type person. And they're like, you know, I see this. We'd like to kind of help you develop that more.
Mm.
And you're like, huh, I don't know if I would have seen that in myself, but thank you for pointing it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but it's just good. You know, we want to encourage others because we've seen it in our own life. And we just want you to be encouraged that God is actively working out his will in the world and in our lives, as well as in the lives of those that God gives us to minister to within women's ministries or women that we get to collaborate with, you know, just so, so wonderful. And so just kind of as we continue on, we will answer another question, and that is just, what's the purpose? I think we kind of maybe set that stage a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of employing spiritual gifts, or what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? And we see that so clearly as we go back to 1 Peter 4, verse 10. We see that spiritual gifts are just bestowed upon the believer for the purpose of employing them in serving one another. That's very pivotal, just that phrase, to employ it in serving one another,
mm-hmm.
because the phrase entails that we are actively rendering service or assistance, but get this, with a humble disposition. So there's a heart attitude behind it. It also connotes that ministering to others or even serving in a selfless manner is very similar to that of a slave, you know, like doulos.
Mm-hmm.
The word employ is a verb. It's in the present active voice.
Oh.
And that's always important because it means we're to continually do this. But it signifies Peter's intention for believers, even in persecuting terrible, hard times that those poor original believers were going through, right? That they are to continuously engage in employing or serving or aiding or ministering to others with humility through their spiritual gifts to one another. And I don't think we'll ever probably face the kind of persecution that those believers faced. I think it's an amazing exhortation, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
that we are to continue. So there's some benefit there that God knows when we are doing that. We're caring for one another. And I think that's just kind of remarkable. My mind's mm-hmm. kind of blown right now. But understanding the message conveyed by Peter through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is profoundly significant. It illuminates the fact that spiritual gifts are not bestowed upon us for the sake of bolstering our self-esteem or drawing attention to our abilities. We were just talking about that. But rather, God graciously grants us these gifts for the purpose of ministering and aiding one another. So when believers obediently, and it is an obedience issue, by the way, when they obediently utilize their gifts to serve and to minister to one another, obviously, the outcome is going to be this beautiful mutual benefit for the entire body of Christ. Also, when we're engaging or employing our gifts, it also serves as a safeguard against disunity within the body. That's interesting to think through. When you are employing your gifts for the glory of God, you're actually encouraging unity in the body of Christ. Is another way to maybe say it. You're actually guarding your heart against disunity. So then conversely, obviously, when believers fail to employ their spiritual gifts appropriately, or worse, like some of the believers in Corinth, they misuse them
mm-hmm.
or even neglect them, it has such a detrimental effect. And so you can see how we always have to be concerned with others.
Mm-hmm.
You've always got to be thinking about that, mm-hmm. you know, the implications of what I'm doing. Some actions may result in disunity. Some of that could be discontentment. You know how that goes. If people are comparing too much, if they're not content with the gifts that have been bestowed upon them, and they begin to compare, and we know just from experience that usually they're comparing with the person up front, or maybe the person struggling with pride, it can really undermine harmony in the mm-hmm. body of Christ. I've seen that personally, mm-hmm. so I'm sure you have as well. I do have an example, a biblical example. I think the issue in the Corinth church really was just discontent with the spiritual gifts there. I think they were discontent with what they thought they should have, or they just weren't satisfied with what God had bestowed upon them, and they desire different ones. Mm-hmm. You know, they just desire different gifts. And of course, that attitude reflects pride. You know, you have to be content with what God is supplying there. But as we revisit verse 10 of 1 Peter, what we glean there is that when we do employ our gifts wisely and we do use them to edify others, we are fulfilling the role of being a good steward of those gifts.
Stewardship is huge.
It is a stewardship. Yeah, it definitely is. Peter's original audience would have understood that reference to stewardship. It's really cool to be able to stick. What's the original audience even thinking or understanding? Mm-hmm. But for them to phrase it that way, what they would have understood is that a steward is someone entrusted with managing resources. Maybe back then, culturally speaking, it would have been land, certainly money, maybe food. In modern terms, we could equate that with some of those things, but we could also equate that to the role of manager. You know, the personal example and my own professional experience, you know, I am a professor now, but I've also been an office manager, you know, and so I've been entrusted with handling various resources for any given department. And we could say that about ourselves as wives, too. You know, we are we are the managers of our household. We know that from Titus 2. Mm-hmm. And so we've been entrusted mm-hmm. with resources for our household. But employing this analogy of stewardship, Peter is underscoring the importance of utilizing the resources that we have been given. And so in this case, the resources we have been given are these spiritual gifts that God has bestowed upon us. So failing to use them or employ them weakens the church, because God gave them to us for a reason, right? Each believer has been uniquely entrusted with at least one spiritual gift. You can't say you don't have any. And when those gifts or gift remains dormant, the health of the church is absolutely compromised. So ministering with our gifts really safeguards the unity of the body. Conversely, then choosing to isolate yourself and neglecting to employ spiritual gifts can lead to the peril of disunity. I already said that. But I think furthermore, maybe by employing the term steward, Peter is also emphasizing that spiritual gifts are not our own personal property mm-hmm. to be used at our own discretion, but they are a sacred trust committed to us by God for the benefit of others and for God's glory. Like we always want to make sure that we say, because it's directed by Him. So, you know, whether it's the gift of teaching, exhortation, administration, I mean, helps, so many things, so many spiritual gifts here. These abilities are not wielded in our own strength, but rather they are expressions of the Spirit of God working through us. Our spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, serve as unique channels for the Spirit to supernaturally impact the lives of others in the body of Christ. And we see that happen all the time. When you come alongside and you employ your gifts, to minister to someone, you see the benefits of that. You know, I see that in teaching, certainly, but maybe I see that even more so when I'm coming alongside and discipling a person mm-hmm. or, you know, formally counseling a person. You know, it benefits them. You're helping them. You're encouraging them. Another consideration as it pertains to the purpose of spiritual gifts is just realizing that the ultimate goal there is to build one another up so that we might come to a fullness of Christ-likeness. I mean, that's that, you know, encouraging one another to love and good deeds, mm-hmm. iron sharpens iron. It's that whole thing. But in summary, the purpose of spiritual gifts is really just to employ them or to minister them to others with a humble attitude so that one can become mature in Christ. And so, yeah, I mean, there's probably just so much more to say there, but I think the point is being able to look at the Word of God and to excavate what it's really saying there. And I think that shapes our answer to some of these questions. So, yeah, with that being said, do you have any more to say, Kim?
I'm just so thankful that God's word is clear, and just tackling a few verses in scripture and looking at the context helps us to see that this is not something that, while it is supernatural, It's something that we don't make up mystically ourselves some, you know, weird way. And that there, we will talk about this a little bit more on the next episode, but also that there are some gifts that don't exist any longer. And
that's true.
I think that pointing that out is really important, because I think that that's where a lot of the confusion comes from. And so I'm looking forward to that part. But what you said, Shelby, about stewardship is really important. My elder at my church always says, we are owners of nothing, stewards of everything.
That's great.
That makes you think, right?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing with what God has given me? Whether it's the breath in my lungs, right? The gifts that he has given me. I am to be stewarding them, and I am to do it humbly.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
So in summary, Shelby, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to employ them or to minister them to others with a humble attitude so that one can become mature in Christ. And like I said, we are owners of nothing, stewards of everything. And as we continue in this conversation on the next episode, we are going to look at three more things. What is the importance of spiritual gifts? What are the broad categories of spiritual gifts? And what are the intentions of spiritual gifts? So I hope this episode, as well as the next episode, will bring clarity to the topic of spiritual gifts and the importance of employing and stewarding what God has given us as women who love God. I'd also like to thank the Masters University for producing the Women's Hope podcast, especially to Kaylin, who's in the studio with us today. Speaking of unseen, who's always graciously behind the scenes serving
using
this
her
way.
Gifts.
Yes, absolutely. Be sure to look us up on social media. We're on X, Instagram, and Facebook. We have a Facebook page that is cared for by the Masters University, as well as there is a Facebook group that we post things on occasionally to edify the women who are a part of Women's Hope community. So thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again very soon. Until then, go exercise your giftedness to the glory of God.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Hope podcast of the Masters University. For more resources and episodes, visit masters.edu/womenshope. For more information on the Masters University, visit masters.edu. We'll see you next time.